welcome back to Pop Topic. We're here to discuss the latest news for the third week of November 2020. I'm your host, Quentin Phillipson, and with me is my co-host, who also plans to challenge the Foo Fighters, Tristan Phillipson. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. I'm always ready to challenge the Foo Fighters.
It's a good call. You might end up performing with them. That's smart.
There we go.
So what's new going on with you, Tris? Anything new going on this week?
Not much, man. Not much. Just a, sort of chilling.
Yeah, living your best life?
Absolutely. Living the dream.
Seen any new 2020 films lately?
2020 films?
Or, well, any film for that matter. I'm not picky.
I think.
Do you got
what was the last movie I watched?
Yeah, do you got a quick...
Watched Superman 2 this week?
Watched
that's
what?
Not from 2020. Superman 2? It's from the 80s, though. That's not 2020. Oh, I did watch... Yeah, I watched the Operation Christmas Drop the other day.
Oh, nice.
On Netflix.
How's that?
Yeah. It was as bad as you'd expect.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, we should get a... Yeah, we should have a Tristan weekly review of a random movie that no one else would watch on Netflix.
I've so far watched both of the Christmas movies they dropped this year. I'm hoping to watch all the Christmas movies they dropped. I think they dropped like 20 Christmas movies this Christmas season. I've already seen both the two they've already released so far. I'm ready for all of them.
Yeah, I kind of like crappy Christmas movies, so I'm kind of bummed I haven't seen any yet.
Holiday was much better than Operation Christmas Drop. Holiday was kind of like, you know, it was a cute rom-com. It was pretty fun. Operation Christmas Drop was honestly just kind of boring. Pretty predictable.
Yeah, I'm excited for Holiday. Yeah, Holiday looks like it'll be cute.
Holiday was pretty cute. Holiday was pretty. If you like corny Christmas movies, you're going to enjoy Holiday. Although probably a little, not one for the family, probably one for the maybe older kids and the adults.
Whoa.
Unlike Operation Christmas Drop is a little more PG for sure. But overall, it was just kind of boring. Nothing fun or exciting happened. And not like boring as like a Hallmark movie, just boring in general.
Is that because it's PG? Do you think if they really made it rated R, it'd be real exciting?
Well, I think if they made this movie the same plotline rated R, it would just be a big twist. Like, I wouldn't see that movie being rated R, which would be fun. I would agree. That's like doing like High School Musical, making it rated R also, which I would be totally down for. Just because people won't expect it. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you expect. Unlike an R-rated version of the same movie, it would be pretty exciting.
That's fair. This isn't even the top story here, but we're just in the middle of talking about crappy Christmas movies. You brought up Hallmark, so why not give a little bit of respect to the Lifetime movies here?
The rivals to Hallmark, right?
Yeah, the real rivals of Christmas. It's Lifetime
versus
Hallmark.
The war on Christmas. The real war on Christmas.
Yeah, this is the new Edward versus Jacob in the Twilight series. So who are you? Are you team Hallmark or team Lifetime?
I don't think I know enough to really have a strong stance, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm pretty neutral.
I always gotta put them in the same basket. In my mind, they're the exact same thing.
Yeah,
no different.
Yeah, if you show me like the covers of 5 Lifetimes and 5 Hallmarks, I'd just be guessing. I would have no idea.
Whichever company made Christmas Mail, that's the one I'm on.
Yeah, Christmas Mail, I agree with you. There was a story where somebody ranked the top 10 Hallmark films ever made, and it wasn't on there, so it must be a Lifetime film, because that's easily a top 10.
That movie is so bad, it's fantastic. It's like the best version of being bad.
So the news story here that I figured me and you would both love, really not sweeping the nation in any way, nobody's talking about it but us, but Lifetime has announced that due to COVID, it's been a real killer for some of these Lifetime and Hallmark films, because the big moment at the end of every film is the romantic kissing scene, and they can't kiss.
Okay.
They've had a real issue with this. So Lifetime movie. Lifetime. We don't know what Hallmark's doing. They're probably just going to have an awkward handshake or a wave across the room because they can't kiss.
Yeah, you can't do handshakes either. Fist bumps, maybe. Only to sanitize first, but no handshaking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe they'll do a wave across the room and that'll be the big romantic moment for a Hallmark movie. But Lifetime is 5 steps ahead of Hallmark. What they're going to do is they're going to have a plexiglass barrier and then the two of them are going to kiss the glass.
I really want to see this. This sounds fantastic.
And, yeah, I might be Team Lifetime after this movie.
This is genius.
I hope every Lifetime movie...
never tell a difference. This is awful.
Yeah, you'll see like the fingerprints of their hands as they're touching the glass.
Like, is there no other way? Like, okay, I know... So I've heard this on a couple different soap operas. As you know, I've encountered the same issue, like YNR and stuff, and Days of Our Lives. They've encountered the same issue. So I can't remember which one. One of them brought in mannequins, I believe, and so the actors are just making out with mannequins. And then the other one, YNR for sure. YNR brings on like their loved one, so like their spouse comes in, and they just end up making out with their spouse on camera. Because like when there's a kissing scene, most of the time you only see the back of one of the two people's heads anyways, right? So just make sure that whoever the spouse is has like the same color hair as the actual character. Like dye the spouse's hair to be the same color, or the mannequin, either one would work. And you wouldn't really be able to tell. So that's not what like the soap operas are doing, is the plexiglass.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, plexiglass. So who, man, of all the businesses booming in 2020, who would have thought plexiglass was really up there?
Well, plexiglass is everywhere, man. They got like the liquor stores and all over the place now.
That's they're booming this year.
Yeah, they're really killing it. Good for them.
Good for them.
At least something could happen in the plexiglass industry.
Yeah, at least somebody's living at large in 2020.
Yeah, them and Purell are loving it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, what is it? Jeff Bezos at Amazon, he's number one, and then for the richest man on Earth in 2020, and then number two is the guy that created plexiglass.
Absolutely. I would hope so.
Yeah, he's just rolling in the dough.
Absolutely.
I believe in all of their films, at least one, but I'm pretty sure in all their films, they're going to be having the plexiglass as a barrier between the two of them kissing in that final climatic moment.
What they could also do, which would be also smart, right, is they're all the exact same movies anyways. Just take a clip of two people kissing from one of the old movies and just edit it into this one.
That's true, but they've also announced that they're going to be editing the plexiglass out in post-production.
Oh, good.
So, you know, yeah, I'm really curious to see how this looks with the budget that
they... Do you think they'll release a plexiglass cut where they keep all the plexiglass throughout the movie in? They don't edit any of it out?
Yeah, HBO Max is going to release it's just going to be called the plexiglass cut. Everyone on Twitter is going to be so hyped.
I would sign up for that. That's more exciting than the Snyder cut.
I agree.
And the butthole cut of Cats. That's what I want.
Yeah, the butthole cut for Cats and the plexiglass cut for, or the plexi cut for Lifetime movies.
Do we know the names of these movies or any?
Let me see if I can get the name of the film here. Okay, I believe it might just be one of them, because the film that they are discussing here is called Christmas Ever After.
This is not the first movie called Christmas Ever After. There's no way.
This might be the third one this year.
That's the fourth Hallmark or Lifetime movie called that. There's got to be
one. I think this might be the second or third one this year with that title.
Yeah, at least one every year comes out called that, like Christmas Ever After.
Yeah.
Or Christmas Love, you know, or Love for the Holidays. You know, they think of that every year.
Or Home for the Holidays. I think Home for the Holidays is classic. So here's the big question here, all right? So Christmas Ever After... They are going to have the plexiglass barrier that they're going to be editing out post-production. Mm-hmm. Who knows how good that's going to be edited out because of whatever budget they have for this thing. But do we think that because the Oscars, they no longer have the rule that it has to hit theatrical release, so this film is now eligible, could we see this get nominated for visual effects because of their ability to edit out the plexiglass?
I would hope so. It depends on how good they edit in the glitter post-production, like Christmas Mail did, to really decide how good these special effects are going to be, you know?
I'm just saying, 1917 won visual effects last year because they edited the shots to look like one shot. Well, bitch, please, Christmas Ever After is going to edit the shot to look like there's not a glass barrier in it. What?
That's pretty talented. Suicide Squad can be an Oscar-winning film, so can Christmas Ever After. I believe in it.
Yeah, this is next level with the editing here. I'm all for Christmas Ever After.
Yeah, we gotta catch this one when it's on TV. I gotta see this one.
Yeah, so the theatrical release window, that helps out a lot. And the competition, I don't think there's much competition this year. So you know what? I think they got a real chance here.
Special effects?
Yeah, for visual effects. Why not? For
visual effects.
Now, what other film this year are we going to have visual effects? Sonic?
Yeah. Tenet? Come on. Not a chance.
No way. No, not against Christmas Ever After.
Not against Christmas Ever. No, yeah, you're right. They didn't add out any plexiglass in Doolittle. Come on.
Yeah. I heard Tenet didn't even use glass.
What a loser.
Yeah, unbelievable.
They just actually kissed. Like plebs. What is this, 2019?
Disgusting. Yeah, it's so pre-COVID. Horrible.
So last year.
Yeah, that was so 2019. Kissing. Ugh, 2019. Get out of here. But, you know, especially with this week was the week where Mank and Hillbilly LG finally got their... You're finally allowed to, the embargo has finally been lifted for them, and apparently they're both bad. So, you know, this is really
Mank was pretty widely loved. Is it Oscar winner? Big question mark. Hillbilly LG was absolutely trashed, though. That movie did not do very good at all.
No. It's apparently horrible.
Like, Mank's supposed to be a good movie. Whether or not it will win Best Picture is a question mark, but Hillbilly LG apparently just isn't good.
Yeah, to be fair, that's true. A lot of people are saying Mank's great. It's just the people that I trust have all said it's bad, so I think it's going to be
really
bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's all the more chance for Christmas Ever After to really come out on top here.
It can win more than that. Maybe it can win a couple of the acting awards, too.
Yeah.
They can really sell this making it with plexiglass thing. Like, you gotta think. That's gotta hold up big with the Academy.
Hold on. You think they're gonna sell it big with the plexiglass? Are you telling me, Tristan, we're gonna see a supporting actor nomination for plexiglass?
Oh. If not, I think I'm going to call robbery right now. I think.
I wish streaming services picked up these Lifetime films. I want to see Christmas Ever After, but I don't know if I'm going to like tune in on cable to watch it.
Yeah, I can probably see if I can PVR it. I don't know if we have Lifetime channel option, but I don't think we do. If we do, we'd never watch it. I feel like you can find these online pretty easily. Hopefully.
Honestly, I wish we had big stories, but mostly it's just like I can't even decide what a big story is to talk about. But you know, one that
I got a big story. I got a bone to pick with you here, Quentin.
Okay, all right, what do we got?
So, you know this absolute stain on society, Emily in Paris, right?
Oh yes.
So Netflix this week had the gall, the audacity, to tweet out that Emily in Paris is supposed to be pronounced with a French accent. So it's supposed to be rhyme. Emily in Paris are supposed to rhyme. I think it's supposed to be like Emily in Paris or something like that, I think, is how it's supposed to be. I don't know much about the French accent. So apparently those rhyme. What do you think of this?
This was not the story I thought you were going to go with Emily in Paris.
This is the one I heard of.
Okay, yeah. No, I did hear about that as well. Yeah, with the name.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense to me.
You use your best French accent here, Quentin. Tell me how it's supposed to be pronounced in a way Emily in Paris, which are very different words, are supposed to rhyme.
No, I think you nailed it. Yeah, Emily in Paris.
Yeah. But what I was thinking, Quentin, that rather than this absolute bitch, Emily, right, we should have a new show about a real, a genuine, salt-of-the-earth individual going to Paris. A truly lovable hero that we can all appreciate. All right? One of the greatest guys alive. You know where I'm going with this.
No, Harry
and Perry. What do you think of that?
Sorry, wait, what was it?
Harry and Perry. Of course, being Harry Styles in Paris.
Yes, the sexy Harry Styles. And this is how they of meet. Course. This is how they end up together.
The greatest man alive.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And ironically enough, I thought the story you're going to talk about was how there's going to be a season 2 announcement for Emily in Paris.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought that's what you're going to go with here. Yeah, they just announced a week ago that Emily in Paris season 2 is officially happening. And maybe that's what season 2 is. Harry in Paris, that'll be season 2.
I hope so. This seems like a pretty big show. I'm not surprised that there's a season two. I mean, Netflix has done season twos to a lot of shitty
Chicago's stuff, pissed right now, though.
What?
Chicago's pissed right now, though. They're not happy about season two.
They're about a riot.
And I keep thinking they're going different ways. When you're building up how we should have a new name for the show that also rhymes, and I thought you're going to go, what was your description? You're more like a more down to the earth fellow, right?
Yeah,
and I was I thought you're gonna go with I thought you're building up Chicago, the down to earth city, the one everyone loves. And I thought you're gonna say something like, and season two should be called Mo in Chicago.
Mo, no. Harry and Perry is where I was going with that.
Harry and Perry. Yeah, hey, that might be season two. Harry Styles. What else is he doing? Crashing at fans' places? He might as well go crash at Emily. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's crashing. I forgot about fans in Paris. Come on.
Yeah. It's Harry Styles. Everyone's a fan of him. Yeah, you wouldn't want to mess with the strongest guy on earth. So, no, that makes all the sense in the world to me.
Strongest man on earth. Right. That's what it was. He's the strongest man on earth. I thought he was the nicest man on earth. I went wrong the whole way.
Oh,
he's the strongest man on earth.
Yeah, he's just gonna be like lifting French buses when he's over there.
No, man, he's gonna lift the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. It's just a morning workout. Damn, I don't remember how he was the strongest man on earth, but we're sticking with it.
Because I said that he could probably beat.
If the fan ended up being creepy, he could just beat her up. And I was like, whoa, are we like implying this guy's like massively strong? But yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah.
He's gotta be.
Strong man on earth, Harry Styles.
Strongest man on earth.
Well, Harry Styles might not be into this next story because, you know, he's very into his protein shakes and hitting the gym and lifting the Eiffel Tower. But something for the more average Mo in Chicago, or the average me and you, Tristan. This story might be interesting. We have a Mountain Dew cookbook.
Oh, great. That's exactly what we need.
Of course. 96 pages of recipes to make food that includes Mountain Dew.
How many of them also include Doritos?
That's a good question. I do not know.
I hope at least 15.
The big question here is 96 pages, and it says here it's a collection of 40 recipes. So what, they have like 3 pages each for a recipe?
Wait, it's a 96-page book for 40 recipes?
That's what it says.
Wait, does it say 40 recipes or 40 recipes including that have Mountain Dew in them? Could there be recipes that don't have Mountain Dew?
It says a collection of about 40 recipes that's made by fans in celebration of Mountain Dew's 80th anniversary. So about 40.
I'm more surprised that Mountain Dew's 80 years old. Man, I thought that's more like a recent soft drink, you know, like for the gamers. I guess it's been around for a while.
I guess, it's been
It's back in like World War II?
Yeah, apparently it's from the 1940s. I would have guessed the 1960s or 70s because it's like the neon colors.
Yeah, I would have guessed like 70s, I think I would have guessed. Yeah. It was for sure around like in the 90s, right? And obviously we remember it growing up. I would not have guessed 40s, though. That's wild. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, you know how all these inventions are made. Like, when a product is made, it's in like your mom's basement for a solid 10 years before it actually like leaves the basement.
That's true. It probably didn't get big until way
out. Yeah, it's like 80th anniversary. It hit shelves in 1970 or something.
Like, I know, like, wasn't it Fanta that was made in Nazi Germany? Because no other soft drinks would sell there, so they made their own pop called Fanta. I'm pretty sure that's how.
I'm sure. So sodas are old, man. Sodas are old news.
Yeah.
So we got some recipes here where you can make green pancakes, green eggs and ham.
Well, that's fun.
Mountain Dew pickles.
Well, that actually makes sense.
Mountain Dew slushies. Makes sense.
Do you really need a recipe for? Is it do they have like Mountain Dew margaritas? Remember they had that like a Red Lobster, right?
Possibly. One that I'm interested in, Mountain Dew salsa. What do you think that would be?
That seems way too sweet for salsa.
That sweet mango salsa. Maybe we'll like this.
I don't think so, man. Like, that'd be real sugary. The amount of sugar in Mountain Dew.
What would you rather have? The Mountain Dew salsa or the Mountain Dew barbecue sauce?
Mountain Dew barbecue sauce, 100%.
Yeah, no, I think that would actually be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that would be weird, but like, that'd probably be pretty nifty.
Especially if they end up somehow making it still stay green. Be very cool.
I'm assuming all of these things are green. Like, there's no way you're getting the green out of Mountain Dew. That thing's so like vibrantly like sickly green looking. I love Mountain Dew, but that thing is like neon colored. It's not healthy to drink at all. It looks like you're drinking like slime. All these recipes are going to be green. There's no way they're not.
I'm starting to convince myself to actually buy this book. Some of this is looking good. My laptop just ran out of power, so it's dead. But you can get Code Red Brisket.
See, that's what I was thinking. I'm sure some of these use different variants of Mountain Dew. I know they're all just a regular green Mountain Dew, you know? If you were to create a recipe including Mountain Dew, what would you make?
This is where I was gonna go with this. Let's try and see if we could finish this cookbook. There's only 40 recipes. You know, we can add a few. Let's try and brainstorm.
I'm assuming Dorito cereal is already in there, right? We have Doritos in a bowl and you pour Mountain Dew in it, eat a spoon of cereal. That's already gotta be in there, right? Like, that's a classic.
That makes sense. It's not listed. But that makes sense to me. That sounds like a pretty valuable idea.
But I guess you don't really need a recipe to make cereal. You know what I mean? If you buy a recipe book and tell you how to make cereal, you're going to feel ripped off.
Yeah, especially if you buy this book, a 96-page book, and three of the pages and one of the 40 recipes is how to make cereal.
And it's three pages. It's like any food. You try to find a recipe online, and it's like a three-page blog on this recipe. Like, why they pick these certain berries in France for this recipe. It's like, just tell me the freaking ingredients I got to buy at the grocery store, you idiot. I hate getting recipes online.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine the three page on how somebody was inspired to toss some Mountain Dew in a bowl of cereal.
It's because they're the ultimate gamer, Quentin. Come on.
And another item here is mozzarella bites that uses the Mountain Dew drink for the sauce and the Flaming Hot Cheeto Crumbs.
There you go. That's the partnership I'm looking for. See, that's creative.
Yeah. Can we think of something else creative like that?
Well, I was thinking maybe like a cheesecake, but you use like, it's a graham cracker crust on the bottom. It's like Oreo crust. And then, of course, it'd be like a Mountain Dew flavored cheese filling, like the cream cheese and Mountain Dew and the other sugar and stuff ingredients for a cheesecake.
That sounds pretty good. I like that.
Right? That's pretty wild. It'd be like green, obviously. Or we can change it up and use like Voltage or something if you want a different flavor. Or like golden Oreos. You know, there's so many different variants of this.
What if we create like a thin layer of gelatin? We freeze Mountain Dew in the ice, in the little ice trays. You fill it up with Mountain Dew. You freeze them. And then you put that frozen Mountain Dew ice cube into the you wrap it up in gelatin, and then when it de-thaws, it turns into Mountain Dew Tide Pods.
Oh, I was thinking like a fruit gusher sort of way, but this works too.
Yeah, do the pod.
You can use it to drink on a hot summer day or to remove stains. It works multi-purpose ways.
Yeah, or it could be a really good prank when you're like, hey bro, look at this Tide Pod container. Reach in, pull out a Dew Pod and pop it in your mouth. Classic prank.
The right one. That's, you know, you really borrow you don't trip that prank.
Yeah, classic prank until, yeah, you got the wrong pod in your mouth. And like,
or before your brother goes to do it also and actually it's a Tide Pod.
Classic, yeah. Do the pod.
There you go.
I'm trying to see if we got any other recipes they mentioned here. No mention of it, but by the time this podcast is out, you can buy it online and it will cost you $30.
What a steal.
Yeah, that's like 70 cents a recipe in that book.
You can't afford not to get it.
They're basically just handing you money. It's totally worth it. I'm going to do it just for the mozzarella bites with the Flamin' Hot Cheeto Crumb.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need. But then again, you could just, you know, Google a recipe that uses that.
It's not the same, Quentin.
That's true. And then also you have to read the whole 3-page blog on how they were inspired. You won't get that in this 96-page book. Yeah.
Yeah, this 96-page book is straight to the point.
Yeah, they get straight to the point there. All right, so we got another story here. One that I saw a few stories for, so I figure we might as well talk about it. But, you know, we're probably the two least experienced guys here to discuss this. Maybe if Welldog, the king of the ladies, was here, he might help us out. But there was a Instagram model that informed people that informed a news source here that she is banned from Tinder because she is too hot. So, you know,
popular, she's getting too many swipe rights. Is that the issue?
The issue is that she is so attractive and her account is so popular on Tinder that so many guys see it and they start using her photos to then catfish other people.
Oh, wait. So a model on Instagram, so like a Instagram influencer or at least wannabe influencer or whatever, who has Tinder, who's presumably very attractive, right? Contacted a news site to tell them, I'm so hot and popular on Tinder that my account got banned?
Yeah, do you think this is all a hoax? Do you think she's actually really ugly, but she's just like, guys, I really need to, you know, I really want to let all the really guys ugly.
I assume she's attractive, but I do think that she's using this as free publicity to really boost up her Instagram.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? I'm an Instagram model, but she's not like the Kardashian of Instagram. She's not up there. So she really has got to get those followers going.
Well, yeah, there's so many people doing this exact same, you know, there's so many Instagram models, right? And some of them make a lot of money doing it, and great for them. And a lot of them are just trying to become like those other ones that are really successful. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this person was a moderately successful Instagram modeler and wanted to propel herself into that next stage. And a story like this, how many guys are going to read the story and go, damn, this chick must be smoking hot, and then follow her? You know what I mean? Like, this is free publicity so good. This is like the best version of the Streisand effect. You know what I mean? All this free publicity because you're too hot to handle on Tinder.
That's true,
you
know yeah. I mean? Literally her handle would be too hot to handle. Like, Tinder doesn't want me, but you guys want me. Come follow me on Instagram.
I'm too sexy for Tinder, baby. Like, I'm not saying this isn't true. This might be true. But this very much feels like it turned out the best possible way for her. You know what I mean? Like she's going to get way more money off of getting all these followers on Instagram than she ever would have off Tinder. There's no money making on Tinder anyways, right? And this seemed to turn out very well for her.
Oh, yeah. And she also decided to announce that she has an OnlyFans account.
Of course. You see?
I'm starting to think she doesn't even want Tinder.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If a girl is that hot, she doesn't really need Tinder. I'm not saying Tinder wouldn't be great to have. I'm not saying she shouldn't be allowed to have Tinder. But Tinder isn't really doing much for her. You know what I mean?
It's for the average Joe Mo from Chicago, not some sexy Instagram model.
This lady clearly isn't from the Peasantville, Chicago, all right? She's a way higher class than that.
Yeah, she's and like so, Emily in Paris.
This could be Emily. Who knows?
Yeah. Her name is...
No, don't say her name. Don't give her more publicity here, Quentin.
Oh, sorry.
Into her hand.
Yeah. I've just fell right into the hand. I'm gonna bleep that out in the podcast.
You see, the story is obviously interesting. So of course it can go viral. It's compelling, right? And it's gonna have her name slathered all over for being too hot to be on Tinder. This is gonna work out great for her. So even if it is real and she didn't plan any of it and she's not using this for publicity, she fell into a pile of gold.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I think she made this story.
I think she made it up. I think it's all BS.
No. I mean, like, I'm not saying obviously she made it up, but I'm also saying, it says buy and then it just says at the site. It doesn't actually give the source of the journalist. I think she wrote this whole thing herself because at the bottom of this thing it says, well, you can see some of less racy photos below, and there's a bunch of photos of her on this source, and it's saying less racy, and at the bottom it says click on this link to go to her actual Instagram and see what she's really all about. This is pretty much just her being like,
well, you know, these are the only photos that you can see on a news source, but I'm so edgy. You gotta follow me on OnlyFans and Instagram, not Tinder and newsletters.
But here's the thing, though, Quentin. I applaud her. I think this is fantastic, all right? She's playing a very tough game. There's a lot of people trying to do the exact same thing she's trying to do, all right? This is a tough, condensed market. And she found a way to freely and cleverly get herself out there way above anyone else. I think she's just playing 5D chess here, Quentin. She's winning the game. She's doing great.
No,
I applaud her for this ingenuity.
She is playing. She is playing this beautifully. Because I'll tell you right now, she's a gorgeous girl. But I'm looking at these photos, and she is not like insane. She's fine.
There's gonna be lots. Like I said, there's lots of very attractive women.
Exactly.
And lots of them are on Instagram trying to be or successfully being Instagram models.
Exactly.
And that's great. That's good for them.
Exactly. I'm just saying, if she's gonna take the same normal path that every Instagram model does, she isn't extraordinary by any means, that she will kind of just
get lost in the fray.
Get lost in the shuffle. She'll just flow with the breeze. Nobody would really recognize her, but she's taking her own ground. She's got a new method and it's working.
Yeah, it's pretty genius.
Nope, it's official. She's my favorite Instagram model. That's it. I don't know any others, but you know what?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know any others to compare it to, but yep, there you go.
That's a quick, tell her name. Get these people to follow her.
Everyone, go follow this person. Make sure you check out her Instagram photos because they're way more racy than the ones on this newsletter. I don't even want to check out her Instagram. That's too crazy. I'm just sticking to these. Whew, I don't even know if I can handle it. I can't even handle Tinder. My gosh. Now, do you think that the next move here is Tinder responds and goes, we'll give you a free pro account, like kind of like Trump her. Should they get involved?
No, and then, I don't think they're going to respond.
If they do say, hey, we'll give you this high-end, if we'll give you like an advanced account here, will that also let all the lonely guys out there be like, oh, wow, well, maybe I'll run into the sexy girl on Tinder?
Well, because Tinder only works for your area anyways, right? Like, unless she lives in her area, you're not going to run into her on Tinder, right? I don't know. And I don't really get the point of Tinder right now anyways. We're in a pandemic. Are you just going to like meet up with a random stranger to like fuck? And then like the odds of getting some sort of disease that way are...
It makes sense for this girl too. Even if she wasn't banned, she can just... It only makes sense here. Instead of not getting free money on Tinder, but getting free money on OnlyFans, seems like a pretty clear decision to me.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. Like, there's no money-making way on Tinder. Like, Tinder is not a money-making platform, even if you're very attractive or whatever. Like, unless you're a prostitute, maybe, and that's the only way, really, I guess, where you can make money on Tinder. I'm presumably this woman is not a prostitute. So this is working out way better for her. I wouldn't call it free money, but she's most definitely making more money now with all this publicity on OnlyFans and on Instagram, assuming she has ad deals, and if she's a model of some sort, she's going to have ad deals, where you don't make money on Tinder. Tinder's useless for her. Tinder's not helping her at all. Tinder's only for if she wants to get laid, and assuming she's very attractive, she's probably going to be able to get laid anyways.
All right, so I actually ended up clicking on her Instagram, and there's one photo of her with a Fanta bottle. Now, hear me out. Oh. If she was holding a Mountain Dew bottle, do we think we could have gotten this photo on the Mountain Dew cookbook? They have, like, 50 extra pages.
That's true. She missed an opportunity.
Yeah. There's also, there's another one with her side by side. It's Fanta and Dunkin' Donuts soda cup. Man, she really missed out. She should have went after Mountain Dew there.
Is she sponsored by Fanta? Or is she just an enthusiast?
I don't know. She's also got one with a coffee cup. She's got one with a glass of red wine. She's switching up the drink every time.
I think she just likes beverages. I think she's just real thirsty.
Yeah, she's a real thirsty. Wait, is this what the young people do? See, I'm so out of touch. Is this what they do? They take photos with beverages in their hand to let everyone know out there that they're thirsty?
Yeah, you take pictures of the food, let them know you want to eat ass.
All right.
I don't think so.
So is that why Welling has food in his photos?
There, that's because he's a chef, Quentin. Show some respect.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she's just really into beverages, which, hey, you know what? Who isn't? You know what?
Hey, you know what? You do you.
Yeah, I saw her with a glass of red wine. You know, now I feel like I have a connection with her.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe she takes pictures of every beverage she can find.
Yeah.
So people who like those beverages feel connected to her.
Yeah. Eventually she'll go like really obscure and have like Dr. Pip, like the off-brand Dr. Pip.
Like if she has a picture of Diet Dr. Pip. That's what I follow.
Yeah. You know? Instead of
that's what she's committed to the art.
Yeah, it's like the off-brand Dr. Pepper, you know, just for that one guy on Instagram that's like, wow, that's my favorite fucking drink. I like this girl.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's smart. Like,
diet tropical Sprite.
You know what? Anybody that wants to be an Instagram model, just follow her and just do exactly what she does. You got to connect to everybody with every beverage in the world.
And you need free publicity, all right? Yeah. You got to get your name out there in news headlines and stories. It doesn't matter if it's a reel or not. No one wants a reel. They want drama, okay? Truth doesn't matter anymore, okay? What matters is interesting, compelling stories like being too hot for Tinder.
Well, that's awesome. Is the next move a girl's going to come out and say, I'm too hot for Instagram? Oh, well, this girl, she's not too hot for Instagram.
I think that's still going to be your main platform. If someone can somehow make up a story how they're too hot for OnlyFans, they're going to get all the followers, all right? If you can get kicked off OnlyFans for being too hot, there's no way you're not going to get all the followers, you know? That's the one.
Yeah, that's definitely the move. Especially because OnlyFans hot right now, that's the move.
Yeah, OnlyFans is hot right now. That being said though, OnlyFans got for those kind of people, OnlyFans got to be a big moneymaker of yours. You don't want to get kicked off of a big moneymaker.
Yeah, see, she played it perfectly. She already beat the system. You can't do better.
Tinder's like the perfect one to get kicked off of.
Yeah,
because it's one for attractive people to hook up, but you don't make money off of it in any way. There's no money making system on that.
She beat it.
So getting kicked off Tinder is only good news.
That's it, guys. She won. There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, like she should be like one of, you know, the most followed Tinder and OnlyFans people in the world now. She should be, at least. She deserves it.
All right.
I haven't seen the picture of her. She could be butt ugly for all I know. She's just a genius.
No. She's very ugly. But
and she likes Fanta. What a loser.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's even worse than Mountain Dew.
The Nazis made it.
All right. Well, speaking of butt ugly, let's move on from the Instagram model to the Spanish sculpture. Have you heard of this one, Tristan?
Which Spanish sculpture?
So there is a sculpture of the Virgin Mary, and sculpture, I don't even can even tell you how long it's been. Is there a year? It says here. It's part of a 20th century building. It's attached to it. It's part of the arches.
20th century is not that old. It's only the 21st century.
That's true. In Valencia.
But let me guess. I have a prediction on this story. I don't know anything about this, right, Quentin?
Okay.
But let me guess. Someone restored it, and they restored it to look awful. Like, someone repainted the face, and it looks absolutely terrible.
Yeah, you nailed it.
This happens once every 6 months.
No, but, like, I'm gonna send this to you. They did not try to make this look good. I'm telling you right now, this is what the story is about. I think they got punked by the guy that said they're going to restore it.
They all look awful. I'm talking like every 6 months. And sometimes, like I said, 20th century is not that old. These are ones that are like thousands of years old. And they just look, or hundreds, not thousands, too old. Hundreds of years old and look awful. Like, this happens every 6 months, man. That's the one there. That's fucking hilarious. Like, yeah, I could read something. Like, if you just look up botched statue repairs, there's so many. This happens every 6 months, man.
There's no way it's worse than this. Have you seen this face? It's got these two, eye sockets that just, like, look like they're lips.
I'll send you one of Jesus here, alright?
Alright. Well, we'll do it side by side.
That one's pretty bad. Like, that's...
Yeah, so we'll do a bit of a description here of this face. It used to be the Virgin Mary, and now it kind of, honestly, it looks a lot. I got it zoomed in. I got a better photo here that I got on Google Images, but it kind of looks like Mr. Potato Head, and like they just put different pieces on. One eye is much bigger than the other, and the two eyes are the same shape and design as the mouth, so it kind of looks like three different mouths all around the head. It does look very sexy.
The moral of the story for this and all the other restoration gone wrongs It always looks better in the old form. Just leave it old looking. We understand these are old statues. They're going to look worn out. Don't fix them. Just leave them looking old. Like, restorations never go very, or most of the time don't seem to go very well. Don't bother. Just leave them looking old.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, though. There's no way somebody thought this looked like Virgin Mary when they were making this.
With that face, we can believe she was a virgin.
That's true. She definitely looks like a virgin now. I don't know who would have sex with that. And you nailed that
God,
one.
God, I guess.
Yeah, God, literally. You know, she's one of a kind, that's for sure.
I can't, honestly, okay, once again, another tinfoil hat idea here, much like the Instagram model faking the story. How many 20th century statues of Virgin Mary do you think there are in the world? Hundreds, if not thousands?
Oh, easily.
Right? And how many people do you think go into this buttfuck town in Spain to go look at this statue on this random building that no one knows of? Very few. But now, how many people do you think are going to go to this random town to look at this absolutely botched statue of the Virgin Mary on a historic building? Like a 100-year-old building with this monster of a face on it. It's going to be way more popular now than it ever would have been.
Especially because it's like looking
at the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, especially because it's looking down on the building. Like, it's kind of like looking down at the people from the top of the building. It does kind of resemble Hunchback of Notre Dame, like Quasimodo.
Like, this is going to be way more popular tourist attraction than it ever would have been if this was a good job, if this was a job well done. You know? No one would have known about it. We've never heard about it. We've never been talking about it now.
You're right. So should cities do this more often? Should they just continuously botch art structures?
Well, one, I'm confident that they are. Like I said, this happens literally every 6 months. Like, this happens, like, once a year, if not more than once a year. Like, this happens all the time.
And in fairness, of all the ones I have seen, this one does seem to be extremely horrible. Like, there's no way somebody was making this Virgin Mary and was thinking to himself, I'm fucking nailing this. This looks just like her.
That's the thing, right? Like, they're so ridiculously bad. Like, this has to have been done on purpose. Like, I think they did this on purpose to get, once again, get the free publicity, get the news stories out there, get people talking about it, and getting people to come and want to visit this thing once COVID's over. Like, who's not going to want to go see this monstrous face on a wall? It's hilarious.
So, to continue off of that, let's bring this back to my town, Edmonton. If anybody knows this town for how horrible it is, they're also known for this absolutely horrible structure of just a bunch of silver balls that nobody likes. They spent, I couldn't even tell you how much on it, millions on this stupid sculpture.
Was it that much?
Well, it was like a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah,
it wasn't millions, but yeah. Either way, it was a waste of money. But should, you know, nobody likes it, so why not just remove all the balls except for two and then just have a giant wing hanging off of it?
Yes, that would be hilarious. Like, the balls are just stupid. No one cares about the balls. They're positioned right beside a highway, so headlines, you know, high beams bounce off them all the time and blind people. There's so many accidents on that road because of those freaking balls. Put it in a public square, put it in a park, and make it look like a big old wang. That'd be hilarious.
And also, to go off of what you're just saying, that is like one of the busiest roads in Edmonton. It's a total clusterfuck. Everybody is just horrible on that road. So with the giant wang, there could also be a giant sign that says, don't be a dick.
This would be hilarious.
You could really play into it. Yeah.
People would respect it. People would like that way better, Quentin. That's a great idea. The balls are stupid. No one like. And here's the thing, though. There are so many balls that they could start selling pairs of balls off to other towns so they can make their own wings. No one cares if you.
Yeah.
You know? They have a whole wang industry. Or what if they put a bunch of wings all around Edmonton and they have like a tourist walk thing where tourists like start at one end and walk and see all, or walk a drive and see all the balls across the town? You know, stopping off at gift shops and restaurants along the way. You make a whole tourist, like, you know. So, like, the haunted walks they have in Kingston, or, like, you know, the celebrity walks they have in Hollywood. They got the penis walks in Edmonton.
No, I liked your idea of gifting them to people. You know, back in the war when they gifted France with their own Statue of Liberty. Edmonton.
France gifted America the Statue of Liberty. I think you got that one backwards.
Oh, that makes sense. Obviously, the Americans wouldn't gift somebody anything. But yes, Edmonton would kind of follow that same step where they would just be gifting people balls for them to make their own wing statues.
And then, of course, they give Calgary, their rival city, like the small balls.
Yeah.
I think a sign of disrespect.
Yeah, they give them like the smallest balls you can imagine.
The rival town. The small balls.
Yeah, yeah. Edmonton's just be handing out the balls as a peace offering for them to make their own wing statue. And then, yeah, then they could be like the Wing Bros.
That would be hilarious.
And I'll tell you right now, speaking as somebody that lives in Edmonton, we would much prefer a wing statue than that pile of ball crap.
The only issue is that like Edmonton will, although the city itself is not too conservative, it's in Alberta, which is pretty conservative. You know, I think a lot of people are like, I don't want my kids walking on a penis when we drive on the highway. You know, people are probably pretty mad about a big old dick right there.
That's fair. But, well, they're mad at the pile of balls anyway, so, you know.
That's true. Let them be mad.
Yeah, there's no way, no making them happy. I think more people will be happy about the Wang statue than the Spanish people that live in that town of Villanueva. I'm sure they are. The visitors are happy. The tourists are happy. But I think if you live there, I feel like a lot of people, especially since it's very Catholic there, might not be the biggest fan of the Mr. Potato Head Virgin Mary.
I like it. I think it's hilarious.
I like it. Yeah, I love it too. It's great. When it comes to films, don't remake them. But when it comes to statues, remake them. Make them more fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're too old. No one wants to look at a bunch of rocks.
Actually, I guess I just realized, since I'm a big film guy, don't remake films. But since I'm not a big statue guy. Yeah, since I'm not a big statue fan, fuck them up. I don't care.
Go wreck someone else's art form. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Don't ruin my art, but you can ruin someone else's art. That's fine by me.
Here's the thing, though. When they remake a movie, the old movie still exists. When they remake one of these statues, that's it. The old one's gone. The old one's not around anymore. Like, it's way worse. It's objectively worse than remaking a movie. You can just choose to watch the old Rebecca or the old King Kong. You can't go back and look at the old statue. It's gone.
Yeah, it's not like Disney came into everyone's house and have removed their copy of the animated version of The Lion King just so we could only watch the live action one. We have an option, that. Yeah.
But no, they got rid of that statue. That statue's gone.
All right, so the final story here. We have a 10-year-old girl from England who has challenged the Foo Fighters in drumming, and they had a little video online that went viral on YouTube. And at the end of the video, the Foo Fighters asked the 10-year-old to join them the next time they have a concert in England.
That's awesome. That's just great. So a 10-year-old girl is like a killer drummer? That's awesome.
Yeah, apparently she's really good. And they told her that she'll join them on the next concert in England. Which, you know.
When I was 10, I could barely read.
Yeah, I couldn't do much when I was 10. I maybe knew what a drum was, let alone be a pro at it. I like to think two steps ahead here, Tristan. We just got a girl that challenged the Foo Fighters, and, you know, now she's basically a member of the band. Obviously, it's the age factor, and obviously, you know, the talent-wise, but could we help a 10-year-old kid out here? If there's a 10-year-old kid listening, what should we have them do to make them become the next big story?
Okay, so if you're a 10-year-old kid, I think what this whole, you know, podcast has really been about, you know, if there's like a thesis for this podcast, is that fake news works really well. All right, use it like to your own advantage. Like, bullshit until you make it, you know, like redo your own statue horribly wrong so people come and look at it, right? Get yourself kicked off Tinder because you're too hot to handle. All right, if you're a 10-year-old kid and you want to do something great, I don't really know how a 10-year-old can bullshit something, but I'm sure you can figure it out.
What if the 10-year-old tells Harry Styles that he's stronger than him?
Oh, right. We got to get like the UFC involved, right? Like, put this on as like a lightweight bout.
Yeah, he just calls Harry Styles out and says, you know what? I could take you. If you went to my apartment as the fan that was, if your car broke down in front of my house, you would not have gotten out of it, bitch.
I would.
Yeah, I might have been a pretty aggressive 10-year-old, but hey, Harry Styles may challenge him to a fight now.
That could work.
That could work.
It probably won't, but it could.
What?
It probably won't, but it could.
That's right. And you know what? All you need is that chance. So if there's any 10-year-old kids out here listening, challenge Harry Styles to a fight.
There you go.
Yeah, just call that guy out right now. He is the strongest man on the earth, though, so be prepared.
You're probably gonna, you're guaranteed to lose.
Yeah.
But you'll get your name out there, and that's what matters.
Now, what if you call out somebody that loves to respond to criticism? What if you called out Luminati's Pizzeria?
Don't go after my boys, Luminati. How dare you?
What if you said that you love Luminati's Pizzeria and you'd like to make a pizza with them? Kind of like the girl saying that she wants to drum against them. Then she became part of their band. Maybe a 10-year-old could get a job at Luminati's if he says he wants to make a pizza with them.
That could work. Or what if someone from Chicago insults Emily in Paris, saying that they could make a better show than that? Or only people who don't, you know, people don't like soap operas, they only watch the crappy ones, like Emily in Paris.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. And then Amazon Prime picks that 10-year-old up, and boom, we just got Mo in Chicago.
Damn right.
Yeah. Step aside, Emily in Paris. Amazon Prime knows what we really want.
Yeah, well, it won't be Mo in Chicago, Quentin, because you got to say Emily in Paris with a French accent in order to get it to rhyme, right? So you'd have to say whatever the title of this show is in the Chicago accent in order to get it to rhyme.
Mo in Chicago!
No, that's not it at all. It'll have to be like Baga Chicago, you know what I mean? Like that.
So what's the guy's name, Baga?
That's the best thing. Something like, don't they pronounce Chicago like Chicago? You know what I mean?
I like that.
I don't know what name would rhyme with that. Baga was the best I could come up with. You know?
That's true. I can't think of any other actual name that would work for that.
Is Baga not a real name?
I don't know. You know what? Hey, if you end up having a child and naming that, then technically it's a real name.
Is Emily a real name? Like, come on.
Yeah, that's true. You know? I don't know any Emilys.
Yeah, what a stupid name.
Yeah. So there you go. If you're a 10-year-old kid, we just gave you a bunch of good life advice. You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. This is a podcast for 10-year-olds to still be listening to.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Is that how we should introduce the podcast? Now, instead of saying, welcome to Pop Topic, I'll say, welcome to the most popular 10-year-old podcast there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, really try
going to cool tweens.
Yeah, really try to hype up to the kids here.
Is Fortnite so cool, 10-year-olds?
Yeah. We got to talk about a lot of Among Us and Fortnite.
Don't you guys love Paw Patrol and Fortnite? Chase doing them flosses, you know? You gotta really meet them in the middle, right?
Don't you guys also wish that Chase was a Fortnite skin?
Exactly. We're so cool, man.
Yeah, and then
we're in touch with today's youth. We are so in touch with today's youth.
We are the definition of in touch with today's youth. Yeah, we are the youth.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we're 10-2. We're just like you kids. That's us. All right, well, that is it for the stories I have on my end. You know, 5 relatively smaller stories here. But you know what? We made it work. We always brought it back to Emily, even though she was not actually a story.
Yeah, she was. She was my story for the week.
Yeah, we should do a season 1 Emily binge right before season 2. Get ready.
We should watch it. We should watch it and review it.
Yeah. Oh, also, one question I was meaning to ask is the Mountain Dew cookbook. We kept saying how we should have a segment where Welling rates all the craft dinners that he eats every week. Should we buy him that cookbook and have him go through each of the 40 recipes?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I figured that'd be great too.
We gotta do that. We gotta get this man that cookbook.
Yeah, it'd be like, well, dog, do's the do.
Yeah, I need his reviews.
Yeah, I need to know which one's the best. I have no idea.
Absolutely. I think the people need to know. Yeah. From a source that they can trust.
Yeah, I trust Welling's taste in food.
Welling is the only man who I trust taste in food.
Yeah, you know.
Him and Guy Fieri.
Like, we're in touch with the youth, but he's in touch with culture and food. He knows more than us.
He is a connoisseur of the culinary arts.
Yeah, he really is. He's like the millennial Guy Fieri, yeah.
He really is, you know?
All right, well, that's everything on my end. You got any other stories here, Trist? Any call-outs to Emily before we wrap it up?
That's it for me, man.
Got anything for those 10-year-old kids that we really inspired today?
I hope no 10-year-olds are listening to this. I really do.
Yeah, I can't imagine any are.
I don't think 10-year-olds listen to podcasts. What 10-year-olds out there listen to podcasts?
What do 10-year-olds even do? I don't know what they do on their free time.
Our sister's 10.
Well, what does she do on her free time?
She likes Sweet Life of Zack and Cody now. She always finds a new show on Disney Plus, like an old Disney Channel show, and watches them all. She's seen all the Hannah Montanas, all the Wizard of Waverly Place, all the Sunny with the Chances. Now she's onto a Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, so we do like a bunch of Hannah Montana and Sweet Life of Zack and Cody quotes throughout the show to really appeal to our audience?
I don't think the Phillipsons are the best track record of being in on what's modern, though, you know?
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what they like?
Video game, like non-Nintendo video game consoles of PlayStation 3. I don't think we're quite in.
We talk about it. We're totally in. The PlayStation 5, that's not coming out this week.
Pfft. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, no. It just came out yesterday.
It just came out. That and the Xbox.
Yeah.
Which we never talk about. I don't know why. Why don't we cover video games on this show? Shouldn't we?
I feel like there's not really big video game stories unless something crazy happens, right? Like, what, you want us to... Really
the two biggest consoles. Like, what bigger stories do you want?
What do I know about the Miles Morales Spider-Man game on the PlayStation 5? I have no idea.
Yeah, it looks dope, though.
Oh, no, it does look great. But, like, what, are we, me and you just going to sit here for 10 minutes saying, yeah, looks good. Looks like a good console.
Which console would you get, though? If you were to pick PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, what are you picking?
A PlayStation 5.
PlayStation 5. I'm leaning more towards the Xbox.
Just because PlayStation has more exclusives, right? That's the only reason.
It for sure is more exclusives. But Game Pass looks awesome. Game Pass seems dope. For the price you're paying, Game Pass seems like the biggest bang for your buck.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, guys. Bang for your buck.
Yeah.
The Xbox.
Real 50-50, though. They both look awesome. They both look great.
Wong would be with you. He's definitely Team Xbox.
He's just an Xbox guy in general. I had PlayStation 3 over Xbox 360. I skipped both the next ones. I just went with the Switch because it's the best console overall, obviously.
Yeah, I have the Switch. That's all I need. I still have a bunch of games I haven't played, so I don't need
a new console. I have so many games I haven't played yet.
Yeah, because I'm watching too many movies.
Yeah, that's the thing. I watch too many movies.
I just watched Gone Girl and Jesus Christ Superstar, a good double binge.
Jesus Christ Superstar, nice. I haven't seen that one yet.
Have you heard of it?
I saw the Joseph and the Technicolor Supercoat, though.
Have you seen Jesus? Have you heard of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah, it's made by Alexander something Webb.
The film was fine. I prefer Gone Girl.
That's fair. Gone Girl's good. Gone Girl's kind of weird, though.
I like it. On a rewatch, it's better.
What?
On a rewatch, it's better.
I believe it's better on a rewatch. And I believe it's better than Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Not that's a super high bar or anything, but I believe it's better than that.
Yeah, you know, wasn't really a close call.
No, it's a good movie. It's not really my kind of film, I don't think. It's only...
No, that's fair. Weird.
It was fun, though. It was a good one. Worth a watch.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. We'll see you guys next week. And have a fantastic day. Bye.
Alrighty. Yeah.